Thank you. I have to apologize. I haven't had the opportunity to read the research.
Well, I've been handed something that is limited value, because I don't even know where it came from.
And from my memory, I'm going to speak as to what I recall the legal standards to meet here in this case. First of all, this is a it's Arizona v. Youngblood. It's a United States Supreme Court case in which the DUI handles were not preserved, and the argument was that it potentially held exculpatory material, and that because of that, it was a grave violation. There is a different standard here. We're talking about whether the state has in its possession evidence, exculpatory evidence, and fails to disclose, which is the Miles-Whitley analysis, versus the failure to preserve potentially exculpatory evidence. And that's what Arizona v. Youngblood talked about. And the standard in that case had to deal with was the police failure to do that. Did they act in bad faith and fail to preserve potentially exculpatory evidence? And there was this additional layer of, in dealing with something that may or may not be, nobody knows, where is the standard where we can actually see the evidence and determine, yes, it was exculpatory, and it was not revealed, or no, it was not exculpatory. This is a different analysis where there was no preservation of evidence. And therefore, what should the police agency do, in this case, the crime scene response team, what standard should they be held to? And it had to deal with acting in bad faith. There has been no evidence of acting in bad faith that has been asserted here. That is the standard. With regards to this statement that that had they known this information in the case notes of the manager and that wasn't disclosed, I can't recall the state case right offhand, but it had to deal with that. Well, first of all, the state crime lab requires even the state of Utah to get access to their case notes to file a grammar request. They turn over their report as the case report that we have. Any further photographs or testing materials or case notes or anything like that has to come through a grammar request. Defense has equal access, and that's what the Utah case talks about. I can't remember the case right off the name of the case, but it dealt with DCFS records. Whether or not the state had an obligation to go out on behalf of defense to go collect those pieces of evidence that could be exculpatory in nature. And the court said, no, that is not the standard that's required under Brady and Giglio, that we go out and actively search any state agency for any potential exculpatory evidence. That is not what's required. It's what's in the prosecutor's file, the police file, and the knowledge of their staff. Any exculpatory evidence needs to be turned out. Any other state agency, then we all have equal access through grammar requests, then their obligation is to go and get it just as well. They've had this photograph since we've had the photograph back in 2000. They could have seen this marker and said, well, what's up with this marker? Let's see what the best one is. Let's explore. Let's go find out what's in it. Just as easily as the state. We did not have this information. We did not hold on to this information as soon as the state got it to turn it over. Whether or not in the over total the determination that this was not part of the crime scene and therefore there needed not to be any type of preservation of evidence and therefore they did not act in bad faith is the analysis that should be here and we ask that after no mistrial on the evidence.
I want some briefing. How soon can you get me a quick brief?
But I think we have materials on hand. The memo that we supplied you is part of a larger memo. I understand. We can get it to your honor probably by the end of the week.
obviously all council needs to be here today. But what, if I could just briefly respond to the young woman. Now, we have a legitimate rating violation.
We don't know that. I mean, the state argues no.
We know we didn't get his handwritten notes submitted to the district attorney's office. That's clear. So the point I'm making is
we don't know.
We have a non-disclosure. Plus, we have a lack of preservation on the young blood. We have both covered here, both a young blood violation and a rating violation. But I just want to highlight, I want to do Kyle's language. A prosecutor, this is a quote from the United States Supreme Court, a prosecutor has a duty to learn of any favorable evidence known to others acting on the government's behalf in the case. That's their obligation. And that's what was not meant.
We'd like to note that we have not yet received any notes. This was just information relayed by verbal. We have not received any of the file because we have not made that, that grant request.
So the issue is whether or not, I mean, one of the issues, at least, is whether or not the state had this. And you're assuming that it is, and it may not even be a Brady violation if the state's representation is correct.
I wouldn't give any arguments if Mr. Jensen hadn't notified us that. In his meeting with Mr. Grundy, there were more. There was an additional note Mr. Grundy took indicating the existence of blood evidence or potential blood evidence, but that it was not included in his official report. That's the only reason I made an argument, is because of notification from the state based on communication with Mr. Grundy about it. I know.
And the communication was when?
Last night at 2 p.m.
So how does that fall into your argument, Mr. Peterson? That's why I'm not getting it.
They told us there's a note that Mr. Grundy had
but they don't have it, so they didn't.
They have the content of the note that Mr. Grundy told them was
last night.
Yes.
They didn't have it previously. That's the issue. I mean, that's where I want, that's where I'm not clear on the legal basis for it. And if they failed to disclose in 2008 that it wasn't done, failing to disclose something that they don't know about may take it out of a Brady violation.
It puts it squarely within Kyle's obligation to go find out and ask.
As soon, I mean, the state has stated that they found out last night and told you.
Well, that's fine, Judge, because Mr. Grundy volunteered that last night, but in a way, from 9, their duty was to go ask. What other notes do you have that we don't have?
Well,
if
I
have to file a quick counter request, so be it.
I certainly need this brief. Now, the question is where we go today, whether we continue with testimony, which would involve cross-examination on this issue, or whether to excuse the jury and bring them back in the morning after I rule on your motion for mistrial. Thoughts?
I'm addressing next to the board.
You're nothing?
Sorry, we're just going to have just a moment.
Yeah, I guess we have a little time.
Our position is to keep them with the evidence. We don't have all these witnesses here, which we're all prepared for that. I appreciate that that may be not a motion. It's just in terms of my evidence, as far as we're making
the trial.
Perhaps it's more prudent to continue on with the evidence. If you bring up a problem motion by the end of the day, it's another be a testimony.
We certainly can move forward with this. It would give us an opportunity to be able to brief it if we had the time. I do note that, you know, if if we move forward, does that alter the cross-examination? I don't know. We're going to leave that potential issue of the ability to effectively cross.
No, I don't think that we would be okay with any or possibly the same.
Regardless of
the okay.
Okay.
Okay. Let's move forward.
Yeah, she's a call.
Okay. I may. I may call them back later tomorrow so that we can further discuss this in the morning. My stipulation, let's continue with the final.